We're talking about Rav Biederman today, and Rav Biederman is, if you put Elul together, we spoke about Rav Lichtenstein, we spoke about Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, now we're speaking about Rav Biederman. Those are three very, very different mahalchim in Tshuva, and three very, very different kinds of figures that we're going to speak about. I want to be mocked in the following way. The note as follows. The Torah says, Parshat Nitzavim, the Torah says that Tshuva, at least the way the Ramban understands the Pesukim, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos is Lo B'Shamayimi, that it's a mitzvah which is really attainable. And if you're talking about people in this generation that have been mechazik others, that have stressed and emphasized a certain kind of emunah, and the capacity for all people to do tshuva, so Rav Biederman, we'll discuss who he is in a minute, is certainly a person associated with that. Parz Vayelech V'Ata Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos, the Torah is referred to, exactly how is not always as clear, the Torah is referred to as Shira. Torah is referred to as a song. If there's a Jew in this generation who is most associated, I think, with revealing to the world that Torah itself can be like a song, that Torah can have a certain excitement and a certain passion, a certain unique flavor, it's undoubtedly Rav Biederman. What we're going to do is as follows. I want, for the next, I guess, 5 minutes or so, give a bit of an overview in terms of who Rav Biederman is, for those of us that are less familiar with him, be able to then discuss what I think is a couple important themes about the way he talks about Tshuva and the Torah he shares in Tshuva. We titled this year Tshuva with a Smile. It's a bit of a different take on Tshuva elements of it. And I think it's it's one that resonates deeply, deeply with me. Let me start as follows. Rav Biederman is in his low 50s. And Rav Biederman is a major figure from the world of Torah Chassidus who has impacted all over the place. If you look, when he spent Shabbos in Meiron, Shabbos in Kiryat Sefer, or whatever it is, you have these beautiful, beautiful pictures of Rav Biederman, there with hundreds of people going to listen to him, often like an electronic cigarette thing going on at the same time. He has his unique brand and style, I guess. And Rav Biederman, although none of us should partake in that, Rav Biederman is a very, very fascinating figure. The best summary of who Rav Biederman is and some of the background, Yisrael Besser, who's an enormously talented writer from Mishpacha magazine, wrote an article about Rav Biederman maybe last year, and to give a little bit of background in terms of who he is. Rav Biederman was an Avreich learning in Panovich. He's a descendant of Lelev Chassidim, of that world of Chassidus. And there were a bunch of American Bachrim, about 15 years ago, American guys learning in Slabodka Yeshiva and Bnei Brak. And they wanted a little bit of extra chizuk. They wanted exposure to a certain figure. And someone recommended, Rav Biederman at the time, again, was an Avreich learning in Panovich. He was learning the Panovich Kollel. And they recommended that they go to Rav Biederman, to get some chizuk and for Vos Hashem and things like that. And he would meet with them and he would give them shmuzin and things like that. Many of those guys ended up going from Slobodka B'nei Brak to learning in Mir. So Rav Biederman said, so I'll come to you in Mir. And he gave shmuzin right in the area near Mir, and the popularity really spread. To this day, to my knowledge, I'll read it from here, it's very nice. Rav Biederman has no formal Beis Medrash, or yeshiva, or kollel. He has no mostos, institutions, or website, no organization. He's a Jew that goes, if he's asked to speak somewhere, he goes and he speaks. His Torah is enormously, enormously popular. His weekly Parsha Shiurim are translated into multiple languages and go out all over the world. And he has this unbelievable capacity to do a couple of things. Number one, the Torah he quotes is Torah that comes from many, many different worlds. It's Torah that can come from classic Sfarim like Rabbeinu Yonah and Shaarei Tshuva, Gemaras and Rishonim and things like that. It comes from all over the world of Torah Sechassidus, all over the world of Bali Musar. Intertwined in all of the Torah is fantastic maisas and anecdotes. It's a Torah which is exciting, a Torah which is very passionate. It's also done in a way which is not super challenging. The goal of Rav Biederman is not to lose you in the depth of his thought. The goal of Rav Biederman is to take, in certain situations, complex ideas and to be able to make them more understandable, to make them more relevant, and to do so in a beautiful way. The kind of Torah he shares, besides anything else, is the kind of Torah which, at least for me, often puts a smile on my face. It's a cute vort and a cute chap. It's an ability to just vort after vort after vort. Insight in a way which is both cute as far as how he interprets Pesukim, insightful as far as how it transitions to the Olam HaAvoda, and he does so in particular, like many, many great people, he does so by emphasizing certain themes time and time again. So we'll speak about one element of that theme, which is the world of Simcha, and how Simcha plays itself out in the world of Tshuva. He spends a lot of time also, references a little bit, in terms of Emuna, Bitachon, knowing the role that the Ribono Shel Olam plays and trying to mechazik people. Rabbi Binyamin himself in his life is a person who spends a good deal of time trying to mechazik those in need, trying to offer support, understanding, and concern, sensitivity for all of those, to demonstrate that for those who need it. And Rabbi Binyamin's Torah, they have a bunch of Sfarim now. There's one volume on Elul through Tishrei that we will be predominantly using today. And it's Torah, which is really great. I'll also just say it's uniquely meaningful for me, Rabbi Binyamin's Torah, because the one who really introduced me to his Torah is my father. My father is great, but one of the things that's amazing about him is that he's always into new things, always into new Sfarim. So he's been invested people, and when he's into it, it's contagious a little bit. He's into it, it's contagious a little bit. So, and because of that, there's something very very exciting about it. And he actually, even though I borrowed someone else's, he actually got me a while ago, Rav Biederman on Elul through Tishrei. So hopefully we'll try to do a good job. Let me begin by just something from that article in Mishpacha magazine before we really get into the Torah itself. Rav Biederman, he writes here, Rav Biederman gave a shiur Elul time. Gave a shiur Elul time. And after the shiur, people came by, for real conversations with him. He spent time sitting there doing whatever he could, listening intently. A middle-aged man wonders if all the Elul talk, all the way people talk about Elul sometimes in a bit of a sad way, is really a good thing. Perhaps it makes the younger people a bit anxious, that too much Elul and too much talk of Yira and being solemn and being scared and being this, maybe at some point that brings people down a little bit. So Reb Melech looked concerned. Oh, he says, do you think I was too severe? Gentleman is clearly uncomfortable. It wasn't an accusation, just a thought. But Reb Biederman's looking inward for a bit. He has the following line. Because Elul is serious. Elul is a serious time. It's time to be focused. But only besimcha. Elul Rosh Tevos, Lebedek, invite their Lebedek. It should be Lebedek and then even more Lebedek. That Elul is a time when it should be fun, it should be exciting, it should be smiling. But it has to be serious also. So let's begin developing three stages of Rav Biederman in the world of Tshuva. It'll take us through to appreciate the Loba Shemayimi component of Parshat Tzavim, as Ashira Hazos, the Torah of the Shira of Parshat Vayelech, but to prepare us, Rosh Hashanah, Seder Shmei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, to be able to do as good a job as we possibly can. Let's note as follows. He begins like this. Vidoy is very real. This is page 214 there in the Sefer. Vidoy is very, very real. And before you even begin the avoda of Vidoy, before you begin to say Hashamnu, it's good to remember what Yismach Moshe said. Yismach Moshe said that it's getting you pumped a little bit, that on Yom Kippur, a Jew sits there with a kittel, with his talis on, and he's going to engage in vidoy. And it's important to remember, this is part of the serious component of things, that there's going to be a time where you're wearing that same clothing, where you're also wearing your kittel, where you're not going to be able to do vidoy. And that's la'achar me'eva estrim, when a person passes away, they're buried in their kittel. So there's going to be a time when it's not going to be possible. So now make sure that you do whatever you can to do the vidoy as well as possible. He quotes the Chavetz Chaim, even the contrast, Yismach Moshe, the world of Satmar, all the way right to Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim, again, different Sfarim, it's all over the place. Hagon Baal Chavetz Chaim used to say that better than striking your heart after you sin would be striking your heart before you sin. That often one of the reasons why we mess up is because we value our taivas and what our heart tells us to do more than what we know is intellectually true. But Chavetz Chaim used to say, when it comes to vidoy, not just get pumped up for the vidoy, but wouldn't it be better if you went like this sometimes and you calm down your heart a little bit and did what you knew was right before you would sin? So vidoy is a serious thing, and chet's very, very serious. But he quotes a comment. And here is quotes on page 174 there. He quotes a comment of the Noam Elimelech, the Elimelech of Zhensk, in the Kutei Shoshana, it's the back of the Sefer Noam Elimelech. It's an amazing, game-changing kind of a Torah. I don't think it's what all of us, per se, will connect to or should connect to, but for some of us, I think it at least infuses a certain kind of energy. It says, when a person begins to worship Hashem, you're beginning to do whatever you can to engage in avoda as well as possible. You often can't get to the highest level that you'd want to get to. How come? I've sinned a little bit. I've made some errors, I've made some mistakes, and even though right now I want to do whatever I can to connect as much as possible, there are certain challenges there because of the chatam I've done. So we know that a person at times has to engage in tshuva. I have a form of vidoy. So says Noam Melech as follows, the Isa, omdim tzfufim u'mishtachim rivachim. The Mishnah tells us that when it would come in Beis HaMikdash, we would stand and it would be really packed, there'd be no room. And one of the nisim in the Mikdash was that when it would be time for us to bow down, suddenly there would be room. Suddenly everyone would be able to get their place. Why was it important that at that moment, when you're going to fall down, there's going to be space? It's important that I don't hear your vidoy and you don't hear my vidoy. Vidoy is a private matter. It's a private matter. It says as follows, but I have to engage in it. I have to engage in vidoy, but when I do so, v'lo be'atzvus, shemefarish eschatav me'orer dinam al atzmo. When you are engaging in vidoy, do not engage in that mitzvah while you are being sad. Vidoy should not make you depressed and sad about the sins that you've done. Rather, when you are doing vidoy, it should be kiyim bibitachon gadol. It should be with an enormous amount of trust and faith that my vidoy is going to cause me to have a degree of forgiveness. It's not a depressing avoda. Not a depressing avoda at all. Look how he describes it there in source number 4. Lefichach. Hagam shebekeis avidoy tzarech leschari alachid be'omek halev. I have to really regret what happened. I have to be able to regret the person, the mistakes I've made. Ooh, it's dire, and even to feel a bit of pain. Al shemarad b'melech kel chai v'kayim, that I messed up, and I rebelled against Ribono Shel Olam. Mikol makom yizahir, but be very, very careful. Ach rak mitochedva v'simcha. To do so, only from simcha. To do so from a place of joy. Why? Well, he says, because vidoy is a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. And all mitzvahs you have to do b'simcha. So why wouldn't you also have to do vidoy b'simcha? It must be that the vidoy you're saying is done b'simcha because I have emunah and bitachon. I know if I do it, I'm going to be forgiven. That's part of the deal. It's part of the deal. It goes in different contexts. We know in general the halacha is, as you can tell us, we know that the Gemara tells us, Savik brachos lahakel. That's Savik brachos lahakel. If I'm not sure if it's going to be so, I don't make a bracha. Yet we say in Shmona Esrei every single day, Chanun hamar b'lisloach, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam forgives. To make a bracha b'shemu malchus, Chanun hamar b'lisloach, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is compassionate, and he wants to forgive us, and he does forgive us, and things like that. You're going to make that bracha? It means Hashem really forgives people. It means it's real. You're making a bracha on that. If you're going to be willing to make brachas on that, it's real. So do it with bitachon, and do it with simcha. He has an amazing ha'ara here from the Meori 9 from the Chernobyl Rebbe. You can take it or leave it. I'll speak a little bit b'remiza if that's okay, because it's not the context to address it as well. But he says that the Meori 9 writes that we know there are certain sins, the Zohar tells us, of which there's no tshuva. Person, she'ina tshuva mo'elas al pegam habris, a person messes up in specific areas in the realm of sexuality. So that's a sin of which there's no tshuva. So many of the chassidim tell us that, no, there really is tshuva for that. There really is tshuva for it. There's no lower level tshuva, but a higher level tshuva. What's behind the Zohar to say that there wouldn't be tshuva for that? So the Mori Naim says it's pashat. The pshat is that sometimes when a person messes up in that area, they feel very, very sad. And if you feel sad, there's no way that you can really do authentic tshuva. Because tshuva has to come from a place of happiness. And the kind of sin that would make you too sad would make it more challenging for you to be able to do authentic tshuva. Because tshuva has to come from a place of simcha. Tshuva has to be from a place of simcha. So he says later on in the sefer, page 209, a beautiful Torah. You know, Rabbi Kiva's line in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, that Amar Rabbi Kiva, Shreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi, Atem Etarim. In front of whom are you going to experience? In front of who are you going to experience Tara? In front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lifnei Hashem Titara, we're going to experience the purification. Says of Biderman, you know, it comes Lag BaOmer time, and there are Jews in Meiron, and they're singing and dancing that niggin. And they're singing that niggin, and they're getting into it because there's a certain insight of Lag BaOmer where it's like a mikvah, and there's a certain purification that takes place on Lag BaOmer. But says Rav Biderman, if on Lag BaOmer we are roped in b'shir zeh b'slavas, you're at Meiron on Lag BaOmer, you're at some place in Lag BaOmer, and you're dancing like crazy. Lifnei mi atem metaharim, ma mikvah metaharas tamei, avgas baruch metaharas Yisrael. And you're dancing like that on Lag BaOmer, kal v'chomer ben b'noshel kal v'chomer b'yom HaKadosh, how much more so on Yom Kippur? Because that line of Rabbi Akiva, it's actually pshat about Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, ma mikvah, metaris atmeim, afagash baruch, metaris Yisrael. Lo hayu yamim tovim bi Yisrael, kichamisha aser ba'avuch, Yom HaKippurim. This is not a terribly sad. You should be dancing when you hear those words. That's the attitude. It's a day of simcha. Serious, yes, simcha also. It's a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs, and it has to come from a place of simcha. Again, a very sort of different perspective in how you're going to do it. Very different perspective. Al derech Jewish, I always wondered. The niggun they use in shul for Ashamnu, Bagadnu, like that niggun, is not the most depressing of nigunim. It's really not. It's almost like you're like singing, you're like Ashamnu out loud. It's a very odd, now if you ever hear it, like, it doesn't have like the morose, depressing kind of a feel. So one time I heard a Jew daven it the way it's probably supposed to be davened, and it was like really heartbreaking. Most of the time it's a little bit upbeat. So I was like, Al derech Jewish, almost like that's like, it's like infusing a little bit into our vidui, like not like, the vidui is real, but a little bit of like a certain kind of energy going on there. No. There are two implications of Rav Biderman's Torah, or there's two contexts which comes up, which I think is really, really incredibly important. One is the question about who could do tshuva. Again, part of the Maila of Rav Biderman is only the ideas he shared which are important, but the range of sources he brings to be able to prove it. So here he points out just a comment of Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the daf, in Maseches Yuma. So El Basser has a good maisa there, that in the early years, when the Chevra from Slobodka Yeshiva was going to Rav Biderman, so they were going to Rav Biderman, and they were like pretty, you have the guys who were really into him, quoting lots of chassidus, lots of vorts, and you always have like those guys who are like a little bit nervous, like, I don't know, does he like really know how to learn, can I really go, like that, certain. So one of the guys went to Rav Biderman, it was like the time to like meet one-on-one, each guy would meet one-on-one at Biderman different times, so he walked to Biderman's home, expecting to only see like Sefer Chassidus, and like all he saw was like a very worn-out shas. So the guy, in order to like, you know, so he's like, my only cash is on like a Tosfos and Baba Kama. So they were down together in a Tosfos and Baba Kama. Like, the more you see Rav Biderman, the extent to which he is knowledgeable about the Maisas and the Vorts of Sfardim, of Chassidim, of Litva, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable thing. But it's very clear that it's rooted in a very deep knowledge of classical Torah also. So quote to Gemara Maseches Yuma. It's a Gemara in Yuma, it's a Gemara which I think is somewhat famous. Amar Rabbi Levi. A lot of the Gemaras about Tshuva are there in the end of Maseches Yuma. Gedola Tshuva Shemagas al Kisei HaKavod. That Tshuva is great. It reaches all the way until Kisei HaKavod. The simple pshat in that Gemara, the way most understand that Gemara, is that when you mess up, and this is in and of itself inspiring, that when you mess up, the Tshuva that you perform could lead you to get to a point of Kisei HaKavod. That even if I'm in a very low place, whatever I do, it could lead me to a place of Kisei HaKavod. But Rabbeinu Chananel adds a couple words into the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Gedola Tshuva, Sha'afilu Higia Chataso at Kisei HaKavod, Tshuva Mechaperes. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, the pshat is not that you will get to Kisei HaKavod. The pshat is that if you sin so badly that your sin registered, Ad Kedei Kach, that sin was so severe that it was like went up straight. Tachas Kisei HaKavod. This is like a top-tier chet that you messed up. Gedola Tshuva that could rectify all sins that you would possibly have. He says, you know, the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Lametes, speaking about the Vidoy, has such a powerful line. It's like a classic with Biderman kind of a vort. The Gemara tells it, Eser Pam Mimazka Kohen Gadol Tashem Bo Bayom. The Kohen Gadol would mention the Shem HaMeforash 10 times on Yom Kippur. Shlosha Bividoy Rishon, Shlosha bividoy acharon v'chule. So one of the situations when the Shem HaMeforash, God's name, would be mentioned was during the vidoy. And the Gemara has an interesting line. The Gemara says, when the Kohen Gadol would say vidoy, for Amar Hashem, v'nishma kolo b'yericho. He would say the Shem HaMeforash, and you would hear the Shem HaMeforash in the city of Yericho. The Gemara says, well, how far away was Yericho? And Rav Biderman asks a very, very simple question. He says, the tzaddikim wonder, of all places to describe where the Kohen Gadol's shame in the world, the most holy name, we're really going to mention, discussing the Rush, the Gaonim, what exactly that Shem HaMeforash was. But that Shem HaMeforash, of all places it could reach, why Yericho? Why is Yericho the place where it goes? He says, the tzaddikim explain as follows. Yoshua curses the city of Yericho. Yoshua says about Yericho, Orar ish lifnei Hashem asher yakum v'yivnes ha'ir hazos as Yericho. Cursed is the person that rebuilds Yericho. Yericho is the is the place which is associated with Mardu b'malchus shamayim rachmana litzlan. Yericho is a place in which the people were so terrible, people were so bad in Yericho, that the city was destroyed and we were told, don't go rebuild it. Says the Biderman, Tzadikim explain, when the Kohen Gadol says Vidoy, and he says the Shem HaMeforash, the holiest name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know where you could hear the Shem HaMeforash? Nishma B'Yericho. In that place that represents a Merah place which Yeshua said, don't rebuild it there. In a certain sense, it's beyond help. In that place where a person sometimes can feel like they are like a Yericho, that a person can feel sometimes that they are so distant and so far away and so incapable of really retaining a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. I feel like I've rebelled B'malchus Shamayim. The Shem HaMeforash, when the Kohen Gadol says it, could be heard in Yericho. In Yericho, in where you are in Yericho, that's where it could be heard. If you're wherever you are, that shame could really be heard. There is no place. Ad Yericho l'lamdenu sha'af im nafala adam. B'yidita hadach tona, sh'b'sh'ola tachtas, k'mo ancha Yericho. Even if you fall, akadei kach, you always pick up. Yom Kippur, Shem HaMeforash, you can hear. And in many ways, the chizak, it's like the way I would say, when I was saying before, like, Rav Biderman is a Jew for me that I associate with, like, B'yachla kitzbu lachem es ha-shira hazos. So good shira does two things. Shira, one kind of song, a bit of a fast-paced song, is one that can pump you up a little bit and pick you up. That was, like, the first kind of an insight. It's the song that says, like, it's a happy, fast niggun that takes place at a tish or something like that. But good nigunim also know how to pick you up when you're down. A good niggun sometimes, it can be a slow niggun, it can be a powerful niggun that picks you up. That's also what his Torah is about. It's about trying to be mechazik you, about trying to pick you up a little bit. He says, it's a cute thing. He says a maisa over that one of the chassidim once went to the chos of Lublin. The minhag is before Tekiya Shofar, we say a parak of Tehillim, L'matzeach L'vnei Korach Mizmor, we say it seven times. So one of the Jews came over to the Chos of Lublin, and he said, you know, Nisim v'Niflaos. You know what's an awesome thing? A great thing in Klal Yisrael? They chose that Mizmor of Tehillim. Had they chose Mizmor Kuf Yates, and it's ever gone to Tehillim, Kuf Yates is crazy long. Had they chose Kuf Yates, like, we'd be spending the whole day in shul just, like, saying Kuf Yates, we'd probably never even blow shofar. Like, what an awesome thing, like, Klal Yisrael did. You know, sometimes, like, we mess up a little bit, like, just choose a shorter Tehillim. Like, we really need to go for the really long one? You know, like, really? Why can't we go with those, like, Mima Makim and Esa Enai? You know, like, those are our guys. Get to the point, not so long, like, you know, it's like, just at the Choser, like, you know, Gevald, like, what a nace, like, we didn't choose, you know, Kuf Yates and go, like, all day, spending, like, 40 minutes in shul, just, like, going through there. Let me call it Bismore, you know? It's a shorter kind of thing, I can handle that. The Biderman says that they tie that, and that Maisa is a deeper Torah also. There's a reason why we chose Livnei Korach, Lamatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor, and not Tehillim Kuf Yates. Tehillim Kuf Yates is all about Talmud Torah, but Tehillim Kuf Yates is really associated with Tamimei Derech, associated with those people that have always been good, associated with those people that have always been perfect. And how we've been saying Tehillim Kuf Yates before Tekiah Shofar, the Perek of Tehillim that we choose to say, is not the Perek of Tehillim that's associated with those that have always been good. It's not associated with those that have always made right choices every single stage of their life. It's not associated with those that can always say, I'm at a certain point of perfection. We dafka read the Tehillim about Livnei Korach Mizmor. Because Livnei Korach Mizmor, those are people that were really there. They were with Korach. And they were really almost there. They almost made those mistakes. They almost messed up. But they rectified it. They had a place of tshuva. That's what we read before Tekiah Shofar. Not just to be mechazik ourselves, that's certainly part of it. It's about being mechazik ourselves, of if B'nai Korach could do it, so wherever I am, I could do it. But it's me'orer something, klapi shmaya, when you read it, saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, Livnei Korach Mizmor, look what they did. And look at the capacity to mess up a whole lot, but to fix things to a certain extent. And if B'nai Korach could do that, we could do that. If B'nai Korach were never beyond, they weren't perfect, but they still got to a good place. We can also go, and we can get to a good place. So we saw just thus far. We'll add one more additional component to it. That when it comes to the world of tshuva, for Biderman, serious yes, simcha also. God learned how to smile a bit when you do tshuva. God learned how to smile a little bit to do it b'simcha not b'atzvos. And the sins, adrabah, that bring you down and make you feel sad, those are the ones you can't do tshuva for. I.e., if you wanted to tshuva for them, learn how to be happy. Learn how to be happy a bit. And learn how to be able to express and to experience a certain kind of simcha. You know why? You know why? And this is part two. Because you can always do tshuva. The shame ha-mefarsh, the kohen gadol, is heard in that place of Yericho. And even if your sin is so terrible that the chet itself, Rabbi Nachmanel says, was magia akisei hakavod, I can always rectify it. And even if I'm not from the world of asrei tamimei darach, you know, not from the world of those that are always perfect, I'm from the world of lav natzeach livnei korach mizmor, gevalt. So I'm like b'nei korach. And they messed up, and they had a hard time. And you know what? I can also, ben minosh lo kavachomer. Korach, you know, we could all envision that growing up in Korach's home was a complex environment. He's speaking about predictors for off the derech, so presumably, bad equals, you know, complicated religious experience, you know? I'm saying this, but there's a serious challenge of, like, rabbinic leadership, you know? It's like, the muscle in an extreme way, like, forget, like, you know, sometimes at Shabbos table, you're like, the rabbi yesterday was, like, not that great. That's like, one level. Korach was, like, we need an outright rebellion against this rabbi. Like not even like we're talking a different shul. Like, in shul, let's do it. You know, let's round up all the troops. Let's get going. Like, saying, it's a hard place to grow up, I would imagine. I would imagine it's a hard place to grow up. And the Bnei Korach, they're able to overcome it. We come from wonderful families and wonderful places. The Bnei Korach, a Jew should never feel like that. We come from great places, you know? It should really be fine. There's something else also. It isn't only that anyone can do tshuva, but when you do tshuva, wow, are you in an amazing place. He quotes a Torah from the Likutei Ma'aril, from the Talmidim of Noam HaMelech, Likutei Ma'aril Parsa Hazinu. I think it's a well-known question. I think the idea is also somewhat well-known, but it's a really beautiful one. One of the most famous Gemaras about Rosh Hashanah in particular, but really Aseres Mei Tshuva as a whole, is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin Mabez. The Gemara tells us, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Shlosh Sfarim Niftachim Barosh Hashanah. There are three books opened on Rosh Hashanah. The book of Rishayim Gemurim, the book of Tzadikim Gemurim, and the book of the Beinonim. Tzadikim Gemurim, it's written and signed on Rosh Hashanah. Rishayim Gemurim, it's written and signed also on Rosh Hashanah. But the Beinonim, so that book is open. Nothing's written in that book yet. It's Tluyim V'omdim. And we're going to see where we're going to go, to the book of Chaim or the book of Misa. Okay, that's a discussion. It happens to be, I'll just point this out very, very briefly. There is an important machlokes I've shown him, what the Sefer Chaim, what we're talking about right there. The opinion of the Ran, the Ramban, and Shar HaGemul and other places is that we're talking about a din that's taking place for Olam Haza. The Gzar din of Rosh Hashanah is primarily a Gzar din of Olam Haza. That's what we're talking about. The Balei Tosfos think it's very difficult to suggest because there are tzaddikim who die. If every tzaddik is signed in Rosh Hashanah, nechtam l'chayim, so how could there be that no one's ever lived forever? There's no tzaddik ever. So that's part of the svara behind it, the question that many of the Rishonim deal with. Not all of the Rishonim, but many of the Rishonim. Although, Jake, you should know, I did learn a Sefer last night where the Sefer said about this thing, Kol HaRishonim, show a link. And I'm like, I don't believe that to be true. That's my attempt at, you know, go like this, it works. But I thought I was understanding that that's actually a din that takes place for Olam Haba. For Olam Haba, and Rosh Hashanah is a psakdin about Olam Haba, and Rosh Hashanah asks the question: if it's really a psakdin about Olam Haba, so why do we have it in Rosh Hashanah? Have that lachar mei v'esrim. What's the impact of it? Ron Cutler, Mishnah Rabbi Aaron has taught about this. A lot of important taught about this. None of this for now. The Gra understands that really there's two dinim taking place, as do many others: Olam Haza and Olam Haba. None of this is really for now, but I just wanted to reference that because I think it's interesting, and because I'm supposed to give a shir on the second night of Rosh Hashanah on this topic, but ended up that day there was like a whatever, so I'm not giving a shir, so I wanted to say it over now, so at least you know. I could be Yotze. A fascinating question in that Gemara. There are three books. Sefer Chaim, Sefer Misa, Sefer Rishayim Gemurim, and the Sefer of the Beinonim, which is Tluyim V'omdim. Nothing's being written, you know, for 10 days. Chassidim asks a question. Why do we need three books? Have two books. The book of Tzadikim and the book of Rishayim. The Beinonim, at the end of the Aseres Mei Tshuva, will be in one of those books. They're Tluyim V'omdim. They're not really in a book yet. So why have three books? Have two books. The book of Chaim. The book of the opposite. And Tzadikim go in right away in this one. Rishonim go right away in that one. And the Beinonim have 10 days to figure out which book are you going to go in. Why is there a separate book, a separate sefer of the Beinoni? What's the mile of having its own sefer? So the Kuti Ma'aril, Tam Rav Elimelech, Zetz, Tam Rav Elimelech has the following Torah. He says, you know why? When a Jew in Aseres Yimei Tshuva does tshuva, as we all are, and your din was tluyim ve'omdim, we were waiting. We were waiting. And we make the correct choice to engage in the mitzvah of tshuva. We are engaging in more Torah mitzvos. We're being more makbid on certain things. We are repenting and returning and doing an amazing job. We are unable to be written in the book of tzaddikim. Why not? Because we're too good to be in that book. B'makom shabalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim la'amod. The tzaddikim go in their book right away in the first day. There's a better book for the rest of us. If we master our Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the book of the Beinoni, the book of the Beinoni, that's a book which is transformative. That's a book which is in a very, very different place. That's so much more chashev. B'makom shebaalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim la'amod. Where the baal tshuva is, tzaddikim can't go there. They can't go there. He quotes from the Beis Avram of Slanim that, you know, why is it that b'makom shebaalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim yicholim la'amod? Why is that? So the Slanim Rebbe said, for a very simple reason. You make beautiful jewelry out of gold and silver, so it's impressive. It's good. Beautiful jewelry. It's a tzaddik. No, it's gold, it's silver, it's always good. That's one thing. You make beautiful jewelry out of garbage. You make beautiful jewelry out of something that looked disgusting. That is impressive. That's impressive. That's been makom shebaalei tshuva omdin. That a Jew's tzaddik was always like gold or silver. That's one thing. But sometimes you can have a Jew who experiences and feels, and maybe even sometimes has sinned so much, that in a certain sense, he is more comparable to like an old like shmata you use to like clean up a dirty floor. You know, you just feel like, you're like, ugh. But a Jew like that, wow, you make something like that into fancy jewelry, that's the most chashev thing in the world. The greatest artist can do that. That's the makom shebaalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim yicholim la'amod. When you can make yourself and you can repent and you can have the bitachon that you can repent, so it's a totally, totally different ballgame. This is chazer what we spoke about and be able to hope maybe add an additional point. There's so many different ways to approach Yamim Norayim. I just believe be'emunah shleima that we all have our way and that familiarity with more of the ways can be the ideas that resonate for us. The Torah of Lichtenstein, the Torah of Chaim Shmulevitz, the Torah of Biederman, the Torah of so many others. Those are the Torahs that can move us and can give us a bit of insight. What Biederman does is give us such important Torah to orient ourselves in this time. It's a time which can feel a little bit morose. It's a time that can feel a little bit dead. The Baal Shem said about himself, his birthday Chai Elul, was because part of his avoda was to insert a little bit more Chaim, a little bit more Chiyas into the month of Elul. That Elul sometimes is so depressing. It can be very, very difficult. It can be very, very scary. And that's one avoda. But there's a different perspective of Elul, in which Elul is one where you can walk in with confidence. The Ribbono Shel Olam forgives us. Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanan Hamarbe L'Sloach. That a Jew can walk in with the confidence. Because Baruch Hu is Mochel, Avonos, Beis Yisrael. Because Baruch Hu forgives our sins. And he can forgive sins that are so bad that they're Magia, Kisei HaKavod. He can forgive a sinner who's so messed up that you can hear Shem HaMeforash Mamish in Yericho, even in that place of such far distance. That a Jew can learn with that sense of confidence that when he engages in tshuva, that as long as he knows how to do so in the right way, no matter where he is, B'makom shebaalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim la'amod, that his capacity to be nechshav lifnei hamakom is something which is unfathomably holy, where he could be, his own book. He's better than the book of Tzaddikim Gemurim. So you don't proactively sin to get in that book. But a Jew who feels the amazing gift of the talented artist to take that which is able to make it into a fancy, beautiful thing, that's the avoda. And the way to do it for a Biederman has to begin with the degree of simcha. Has to be able to, it's serious, there's no stira between being serious and being besimcha. When we're younger sometimes, we think there's a contradiction. We think that the guys who are really, really serious are the guys who also don't smile. And the guys who are smiling are also the guys who are really like, they're the jokers, and they're the ones that are engaging in leitzanis all day, and they're making fun of everything. It's a very unsophisticated way to look at religious life. It's a very unsophisticated way to live your own existence. Many of the most serious people that I've ever interacted with also smile and also know how to joke around. And I think those two things often go hand in hand. When you know how to smile, it makes your Rosh Hashem so much sweeter and you're so much more able to go. You know, when you're enjoying the learning that you're having, you're able to be in such a better place. There's no stira between seriousness and smiling. There's no stira at all. The stira is between, leitzanus and stira. I mean, it only make fun of things. I'm only cynical about things. That's one thing. But part of Rav Biederman is it's serious avodah. It's a mitzvah vidoy. Approach, connect to your sins. But do so with a state of simcha because you have bitachon and your Baruch Hu is going to forgive you. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And that to walk in with a certain confidence, it's going to be something, Be'ezra Hashem, which can be very, very holy. So many different approaches. For me, Rav Biederman is an uplifting approach sometimes. When it's a long Elul, it's a tiring week of slichos, and we're feeling a little bit down sometimes. And sometimes you need a little bit of an infusion. You need a little bit of a Torah, which is a Torah of Shira. You need a little bit of a Torah, which is a Torah of Lo B'Shamayim Hi. You need a little bit of Torah, which is an experiential Torah. One of the things he does so beautifully, if you ever see videos of him speaking, or if they're live, is the place is exciting. The place is on fire. He's standing on a table, as he talks. He's not sitting there in a Rebbish kind of a way. He's not playing Rebbe. He's playing one of us, who's just, so much greater, but able to do so in a way with a smile and with a sensitivity and a kindness towards others. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Bizocha in these 3 days we have to prepare for Shana, that we do so appropriately and that we do so in a way where we understand all the focus we need, that we have to be very, very serious. But it's okay to do tshuva with a smile sometimes also. It's okay to be excited about the opportunity. It's okay and it's important that we're excited about this chus. It should be a wonderful Shabbos for all of us. Thank you.